Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, we are back here tonight with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. We have a full house tonight with a very interesting topic. But before we move on to that, who's in the house today? Ladies first. Sarah?
Hi, sorry, I'm swallowing.
What are you swallowing?
I have gum.
I have gum
and my mouth was full of just the juice. Sorry. I'm here. No. Yeah.
So other than you being purple, how's your day going?
It's going. I'm here and it's going. It's great.
Yeah. How's business? Good?
Good. Everything good.
Right on. Cool. Beautiful people. How you doing, Danny?
What's up, beautiful people? Let's do this.
How's your day going today?
My day's freaking amazing.
Right on.
So much amazing news.
That's cool. Can't wait to hear it. Mr. Campos, how you doing over there, man?
Much better today.
Right.
Much better, man.
Yeah, so, you were out for a while.
Welcome back.
Yeah, man. I was down and out, but... fuck that. Nothing can beat me. That's just how it goes. Nothing beats me. Yeah.
Right on, man.
Yeah, doing good. Thanks.
How's everything going? Business good?
You know, with being sick, fuck, man, things fall behind a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you still try to stay on top of shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're half-assed. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, man, we just, at that time, everything just starts hitting you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a big wave came in. And so, we just got a lot going on right now, but that's a good fucking thing. I love it.
Right on, building that momentum, man.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So we're going to move forward with our quote.
And you know what? I got the quote.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was looking at Sarah.
I know. Well, Sarah,
I was going to ask her, but I was trying to
see. You're going
to
make her choke again, dude.
I was trying to see her chewing patterns.
Petra admits it, you know? All right, guys. So our quote for the day is, "You have to be odd to be number one," by Dr. Seuss. You have to be odd.
Let's all be weirdos. No.
You already are.
Damn.
No, but that's a good. I mean, I like all of our quotes. Every time we talk about some of these things, whoever picks the quotes, thanks, Danny. They're pretty good, right? And then you have to think about them a little bit. It's like this one here, even. If you think on the surface, the number one is odd, right?
Yeah.
It's an odd number.
Yeah.
But. You do have to be a little quirky to be that top dog, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because you have to...
Something's going to be wrong with you.
A little bit. Because, I mean, really, you just have to not give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people kind of take that as being odd or weird. Like, look at Elon Musk.
Right.
I mean, he does. He has Asperger's, right? But the dude's fucking smart and badass and one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah.
And I admire him, so, you know.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, the guy, even when he dances, he kind of looks weird, you know, his body doesn't, like, coordinate with his feet kind of deal, you know? Maybe we got to connect him with Anaïd, so...
So, yeah, you can teach him how to dance.
But, yeah, nevertheless, one of the most brilliant minds in today's society, right? And he is odd, or at least he seems odd.
Well, have you seen him talk?
Yeah.
Like when he talks, he kind of looks away and then.
Yeah, his eyes.
It's kind of weird the way he does. Like, yeah, it's he is. He's an odd man.
Yeah.
He's an odd man.
Yeah, but he's a good
number one.
He's a cool dude. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know the guy. He just looks cool.
I'd be his friend.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. So let's move on to the topic. Sarah, you want to give us an insight of what tonight's topic is?
Yes. So tonight we're going to talk about something that has been, I think, everybody's concern, and only because they're going up, right? And that's interest rates. So when do you finance, right? So with mortgage rates falling or going up, I mean, they fall like 25 cents, 0.25 or something like that. And then so that's considered falling as of right now. But the bigger question is, when should investors refinance, right? So that's going to be our topic for tonight, trying to figure out or, you know, just discuss when is the best time to refinance, what are good opportunities when you do refinance as an investor or as a homeowner. So yeah, we're gonna deep dive into refinancing.
Yeah. So yeah, the word out there is that shift in you know, towards the end of the month with the Feds kind of doing the adjustment in interest rates.
Yep.
For me and my in the way I see things, I don't believe it anymore. It's kind of like they just rattle the bucket a little bit and they let you hear the stones, so you know that there is stones in the bucket, but they don't show you how many stones and they don't tell you when they're going to throw them out, you know? So if they do good, if they don't do good, at least for me, my view is I just wait till they're actually in effect. Right. Yeah. You can't make your plans when you acquire property. You cannot make your plans on, you know, all these empty promises sometimes.
Right.
You know, you can't buy property hoping that you're going to gain, you know, further proceeds by a drop in interest rate. Right. And then what if it doesn't happen and you bought into a tight margin, hoping that interest rates fall, and they don't,
you're screwed,
dude. Yeah,
and I think that's some of the things that we talk to some of our, you know, we talk about from a cautionary perspective, right? If you're buying based on just that,
just limit, yeah,
you're gonna shoot yourself in the foot.
You're gonna,
you know.
And there's a lot of investors that do that.
Yeah, they're crazy.
There's a lot of people. I mean, I consider myself high risk. Right. I mean, not me, myself, high risk. My risk tolerance is high. I wouldn't. But that's way, way too high for me. You know, like I wouldn't buy a property hoping that interest rates drop tomorrow.
Right.
You can't do that to your business.
You know? I mean, I think that I have an opinion on interest rates and buying property today, you know, where people kind of sit on the sidelines waiting for them to drop. My opinion on that is, buy now, because if they do drop, you're just better off later on anyway, right?
Yeah.
But not something that I'm going to invest in.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Not from that perspective.
Yeah, so I don't mean to take this too off topic, but again, we just got to reiterate how important it is for you to learn how to buy, right?
Yeah.
I personally like buying matured mortgages.
Yes.
You know, matured mortgages above the 12th, 15th year with little to none encumbrances. Just the first position in place, the original owner. You know, I dial it down to that, to where there's no loans against the property. There's no HELOCs, no nothing. It's just,
makes it simple.
It's just that easy. Now I know that if I buy a property with, you know, with the matured loan, interest rates are going to be, you know, your threes, your fours,
even your low. Twos.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then it doesn't matter what the market does.
Right. And that's funny, because I actually had a conversation with somebody on this, actually one of our students on a property that they were looking at, and the spread wasn't real, there wasn't a huge spread, but Maybe there was some opportunity to wholesale or do something with the property. Maybe wholesale it to an end buyer, means somebody gets going to live in the property.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they were asking about keeping it and how would that work out. And it's like, well, the interest rates are, I mean, the interest rate on the property is kind of high. There's no real spread there. And then kind of thinking about where we're at in the market, right, in the cycle where you're mm-hmm. teetering. To me, that it just wasn't a good deal. Right. Yeah. So I think that, you know, banking on an interest rate to change like that.
No,
it's just not. It's to me, it's just not good business. It's not a good practice, you know, because you have no control over what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Right. At least we take risk. We take calculated risks. That's not necessarily calculated risk in my mind.
I don't think
because there's just no control over what's going to happen. What if a war breaks out next week? Interest rates. I mean, I shouldn't say jump, but they do.
Yeah.
And then what if the market takes a shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now you're stuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, the market takes a duke and whatever equity you thought there was in place is gone.
It's gone.
And you're still left with the high
yep.
interest rate.
And now there's no cash. I can't even talk. There's no cash flow in that. Right?
Well, I because mean, it just gets too tight.
100%.
You know that?
100%.
That's what happened with people back in 2008. They over-leveraged themselves. And I mean, I've heard, I don't know how many hundreds of stories of people that had it going in 2008 and lost everything. There's a pool of people that not only pray when they go to bed and when they wake up, they pray 24/7 because they're so over-leveraged. And all these variables of the economy crashing and the unstable, the unknown of the shift of interest rates changing or not. Dude, I'd hate to live in those shoes.
Yeah.
But I'd hate to live in the shoes of the person that made those mistakes in 2008 and then
they do it again.
They do it again. It's like you should come through our speakers, step out through the mic so we can slap you. And then you can go back to the comfort of your home.
We'll fix you. We'll fix you.
Baby shake you. Anyways, before we continue digging the conversation south, let's go on and touch on some of the points. Let's see. How much would a refinance affect your payment? Sarah.
So, based on the information we have here, that usually is the most pressing concern for any property owner, right? So the only way or the factors to consider would be how long you plan to own the home for and the cost of obtaining a mortgage, right? So those are just some factors that you can think about when you are considering a refinance.
Right on. Okay, cool. Let's go into factors to consider when refinancing. Can I eliminate my PMI?
Yes.
Samples, okay.
Well, so I'm only going to speak from my experience, right? When I bought my first house, I had to do an FHA loan, and I had PMI mm-hmm. tied to the house. Shit was expensive.
Yeah.
It was pretty expensive, but they kept telling me, oh, after X amount of years, it'll come off. And I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want to wait that long. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But when I bought this house, I bought that house coming out of that 2008 recession, right? So mm-hmm. I got a good deal on it, right? I was an investor before I was even an investor.
Oh, wow, you know? Yeah.
But I bought it for half of what it was during that peak. But interest rates were higher at that time, too. I think they were at 5-6% or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then PMI on top of that, shit. Mm. So it was kind of like, oh, damn. I can't remember exactly how much I was paying for the PMI. But after a while, the market changed. Things started to go up. And then I was able to refinance. And I didn't take – I've always been like, no, I don't want any money out of the house, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, let's get rid of the PMI. It saved me. I mean, I know it was pretty significant because it was fucking bothering me that I was paying for something that I didn't really get anything out of, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you could definitely get rid of your PMI through a refi.
It's just another product that is in place It's just, yeah, it's just another product that they shove down your throat.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, it's a private mortgage insurance, right? It's like I got to get a stupid insurance to guarantee my mortgage.
Yeah.
When if I don't pay my mortgage, you can take the house away?
Right.
It's like stupid.
Right?
But it's just another product that we happily buy. We're not so happily, but we want to be homeowners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just rewording the same, you know, stacked costs of making you a homeowner. Just you take their money. Now they want their money insured, and if you don't insure it, then they'll take the house that they're going to take away anyway.
Anyway, if you don't make the payments. You don't make your payments.
Oh, my God, this is stupid.
It's a circle.
Anyways, right. Yeah, it is a big circle. Well, anyways, okay, cool. Let's stop saying anyways. I know a guy that he's learning how to speak English, and that's his word, anyways.
I thought you were going to say he's gay. Never mind.
I'm not gonna say his name, but every time he says something in Spanish, he says anyways. So that's his nickname. We call him El Anyways.
That's a good one.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyways, again. Refinance and adjusted loan. Danny, you wanna take on that?
Sure. I mean, refinance. You can refinance, it depends, right? Some people start with big interest, like 8%. Mm-hmm. So they probably should, once they can go down a little bit, save that money and maybe use the terms or the years. If you want to go from 15 to 30 or 30 to 15, depends what you're looking at. But mm-hmm. it's going to help you a lot. And adjust that balloons that you don't want on your loan.
Yeah.
Those are bad.
There's a lot of scary loans out there.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I walked a property one time. I made an offer on a property, and then I had to walk away from it. The guy had, his interest rate was 11.5%.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And that was because he got the money from a hard money lender.
I thought you were going to say he bought it in the 80s.
Yeah, no. 11.5%. But he was so anxious to become a homeowner that he was willing to pay whatever it took.
Wow.
And then I told the guy, you know what? I hate to be the one bringing bad news to you, but the grandkids of your grandkids are going to pay this loan if this property stays in the family. And I had to walk away. The hard money lender had no room for negotiation.
He was, shit.
You know, he was going to die, and he was going to, forward that benefit to whomever was his beneficiary, because who'd want to get rid of,
11.5%?
Yeah. It was like, wow. You know, that was maybe a good 15 years ago. That guy still, I kid you not, that guy still, the debt, it's probably still the same that the one I saw back then. Because
he still owes that $100,000 that he never paid down. It's
crazy, Anyways.
But that happens too, right, with adjustable rates, right, where people take on those loans, and then as the rates go up, like right now, rates have been very high.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having that fixed rate they probably should have signed up for, now they're probably kicking themselves, right? Where a lot of people took advantage of the very, very low rate of the adjustable, but now they're must be fucking hating a lot. Man, I'm cussing a lot today, huh?
Yeah, you are, actually.
I know. I got to stop because, explicit lyrics, people. Well, anyway. Straight out of Compton, Sorry.
Goodness.
Anyway, interest rates, the adjustable interest rates suck now, right? Yeah. So, yeah, refinancing will help that, too. Kind of at least give them that little cushion, or at least help them out in that end,
Yeah.
Even if they're a little high or higher than normal.
You know, right now, one of the big variables happening attached to personal property, real property, is not only the unknown, right? That fear of the unknown of whatever the feds are going to do with the interest rates, if they're going to ignore them or keep on pushing them up or down or who knows, right? But it's not only that. It is like right now, real life happening as we speak. All these freaking fires happening at the same time all these insurance policies are getting canceled.
Yeah.
You know, so now people are not only worried about what their loan is going to do, but what protection do they have over, you know, that property that they're, you know, so hard, so much hard work is going into keeping it and paying it and all that, you know? So what I'm trying to say really is all these interest rates, what the market is, you know, what they're saying that it's going to do possibly drop. And then all these people with that fear of all these fires going, uninsured properties, imagine the pool of candidates there's going to be for us investors. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge because people, if they get dropped by their insurance carrier and they find a new policy, it's 2 to 3 times more than what they found. And now not knowing what the interest rate is going to do or if they're going to lose their equity, who's going to want to put good money into bad money?
That's going to be a tough.
It's going to get tough for your average homeowner, for your average working class individual. It's going to get very, very tough. And for us, I mean, investors, if you're upcoming, you could start educating yourself and start getting in line with strategies and people that do what you want to do because the blood is about to spread.
Yep.
It's about to run down the streets, you know, and that's when opportunity comes for investors. So all these different factors coming together, it's just indicators, man, of opportunity for us.
100%.
You know, I 100%. Mean, it sucks that people on the other side of the door are hurting, right? We wish no bad on anybody, no bad energy on anybody. But the nature of the beast is somebody loses, somebody wins.
100%.
All the time.
You know?
All the time.
Anyways, that was South. in line with, you know, the repercussions of all of the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you have that 1/3 of society that says, you know what, I'm going to burn all my money and my savings. Who cares anyways? We're still going to lose it all. Right. And you got that other 1/3 of the people that say, oh, I'm going to live life to the fullest. Nothing's going to happen anyways. And then there's that other section of people that say, I'm going to protect my savings and my earnings just in case rainy days come. But then when the rainy days come, that umbrella is not going to be enough. So everybody's going to get screwed across. It's going to get slaughtered. Yeah. Just get slaughtered. Especially people. I see the people that overpaid for properties, that massively overpaid for properties at expensive rates 2 years ago. Right. When it was going crazy. I mean, I had one of my colleagues, she was telling me that she had an individual pay $180,000 over asking price just to get the property.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Right. But that was that shortage of inventory and that high demand with high interest rates. Yep. They're in line to get in trouble.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
So, I mean, there's a lot more to what affects a property right now, at least here in California, especially living it right now as we speak with all these fires. When these fires are gone, you watch how many policies are going to get canceled.
Oh, a ton. They were talking about that. They were already talking about that.
Yeah.
Just how crazy it is in California where a lot of these insurance companies, especially now, to your point, everybody's going to be pulling out.
Yeah.
Everybody, because the problem is the insurance companies want to raise rates. And what do they call the guy, the insurance, is he the commissioner or whatever, say no. So then they're like, okay, well then we're going to bounce because it's too high risk for them, especially in all those areas where they're fire prone. But so now I'm going to get go back to, you know, my political, I shouldn't say political, but my opinion on California.
Sucks.
Yep. I mean, but it sucks because, like the insurance companies, there's ways to avoid the fires, right? There's a lot. There's ways for them to avoid that. They just don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because California, oh, no, we don't want to chop trees or we don't want to do this because clean air. But look how bad the air is getting anyway with the fucking fires.
Yeah.
I did it again. Sorry, Sarah.
Yeah.
But it's bad. I mean, look at, I was telling you guys, my backyard looks like somebody's out there smoking all over because all the ash falling in it. Yeah. And I mean, is that, that's not safer. So we might as well just cut down some of those trees that are causing the fires in the first place.
Right.
Clean it up.
But, you know, at the same time, the fear factor. The fear factor for home ownership. You know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to my house tomorrow? I mean, am I in a safe zone? You know, it's like, if I'm an insurance carrier and I'm just going to cut policies, I'm just going to do it across the board. Screw it. You know, there's a lot of weight kind of falling onto the shoulders of home ownership right now. And it's going to get to a point where
this podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
The cost doesn't justify the shelter.
You know?
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's like we have, it's the American dream burnt as quick as those fucking fires burnt. It is long gone.
It is, and there's, man, that's so now we're getting into some deep conversation here, you know what I mean? Because here the shitty thing about it is like everything across the board, right, from insurance policies to real estate to interest rates, everything around housing is expensive, right?
Oh, yeah.
But now think about rent.
Oh, yeah.
Because now if people have to move out and get rid of those houses, now somebody has to, where are they going to go? They got to go rent something. So now the demand for property to rent is going to go up.
Yeah.
I know someone who's renting a small, like it's maybe 600 square foot place.
Mm-hmm.
Two bedroom, one bath, barely. And they're spending over $2,300 a month.
Wow.
Right?
That's the going rate.
That's the rate.
Yeah.
So even with all the high prices of home ownership, and now it's high prices in rent.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. California is just, it's not going to be sustainable. It's just not, because you got people, the average income in the average family income in California is what, 60,000-80,000, something like that.
Yeah. Well, now you have to be above 90 to be. To no, not be,
like, I thought it was like 100 plus to be able to even buy a house anymore.
Yeah, no, 90 or something like that to be above the poverty level. Above poverty. Like, right? Mm-hmm. You know, not to bash anybody whatsoever. I'm Mexican with all capital letters, right? My heart belongs to Mexico. And I say this, you know, some of my immigrant paisanos that come over, they struggle to make ends meet. And I say, man, you should just stay poor in Mexico. You're better off being poor in Mexico than poor in the U.S.
No joke.
100,000%. I mean, I shit you not, man. I know propaganda has done a very, very good job on bashing Mexico and using that ride to keep people under fear. But the reality is that's a very big lie. Poor people in Mexico would live better quality life in Mexico being poor than being poor here.
Wow.
I kid you not. I can attest to that. I can put my name on it. I can go on a debate about it with whomever wants to come and talk about it, because it's a true fact. Being poor here sucks ass. You know why? Yeah. Because you're poor, you're limited, you don't have access to a bunch of different shit that the chasing the American dream led you to believe you would have. And you still have the government up your ass, right? And down your throat, so you're getting a colonoscopy and an endo at the same time. Goodness. You know?
Oh, shit.
And then at the same time, you never get anywhere.
Spinning wheels.
Nowhere. Yeah. You absolutely get nowhere. And to top it off, you lose your joy. You lose your happiness. And you die from stress. That's what you fucking die from. You get sick. You start getting all these illnesses from stress. Where in Mexico, stress doesn't even, I mean, at least in our hometown, that shit doesn't even exist. You know, there's like a rinsing spot, like a big arch where you drive in through when you walk into our town, and that washes your stress out.
Nice.
And then you walk in, no stress. It's gone.
How's the poor life in Brazil?
You know, no, people complain a lot. In Brazil, it's a little different. I mean, we are all happy. I mean,
if everybody samba.
Everybody does something to be happy. If you're in a bad situation, you laugh about it. If you're not in a bad situation, you laugh about it. You know, it's just the spirit. I think it's a little different. It's a state of mind. Let's do not fight, you know. Let's love.
Wait, you not fight?
I don't.
Yeah, you're the exception.
We're joking.
And you know what? As I'm hearing Danny say that, I'm gonna reframe my comment about the American dream. It is only absent in the state of California. I think other states
have too many restrictions.
I think other states have it easier. I think other states don't have...
No, there's other states that are just as bad as us. Washington's pretty bad. Oregon, certain areas are pretty bad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's... But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know we're just overregulated. We're overtaxed. We're over... Now, underinsured. You know, overtaxed, overregulated.
Overburned.
Overburned. And then underinsured now, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's other states out there, like Washington, that have it... Maybe just as bad as us, if not in some cases worse.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, because they're heavily taxed as well, and then they got shitty weather. So that's even bad. Yeah, or that makes it worse.
This weather has a high ticket, man.
It does. We pay a lot for it.
Yeah.
We also pay a lot for breathing that fire air too. You know?
Yeah, I've been feeling something.
You pay to live in the weather, then you pay for your life insurance. I mean, your health insurance because.
But we're underinsured.
The only way. Oh, forget it. Everybody will die.
Okay, so let's move on.
Why don't we talk about how interest rates can be affected by? There's an election coming up, right?
The factors
that influence the rates.
What's that?
That's are going to be the factors that influence the rates.
Elections,
economy, jobs. I mean,
wars.
You know what's really sad?
Wars.
You know what I really dislike about politics is that the benefit of the people they are meant to serve is only a tool, is only a selling tool for them. They don't genuinely care. I highly doubt, I truly, honestly, in my deepest corner of my heart, I think that they don't give a rat's ass.
I think that, you know, we talk about never dehumanizing your business.
Yeah.
I think that that's one of the things that all politicians have done.
Yeah.
They forget about who they represent and what they're supposed to be doing. And everything's how can I benefit? How can I win? And
who do I owe a favor?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, the people that they're supposed to represent aren't represented, right?
Yeah, no.
And they totally forget about those, you know, these smiling faces here, right? And just go on and pursue their own self-interest or who they owe a favor to.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
It sucks, man. So, you know, now all these topics are hot all of a sudden. And they're...
But there is fire out there, so it's going to be...
Yeah, but like, interest rates, you know, the government has to fight to make this happen. You know, both sides of the coin have to fight to make what's best for everybody on both sides of the coin get a benefit and be able to keep more of their hard-earned money. They have to go fight and then sell you the fact that they'll represent you in a better form if you vote for them. Yes, that's. And then after you vote for them, they don't fix it.
Yeah. No. But that's a cycle, right?
Yeah, their cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and unfortunately, ours too, because we get stuck in it, right? We're the ones that are. We have to live it, unfortunately.
No, but I mean their cycle.
Oh yeah, their cycle. Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Oh man. Anyways, yeah, it's never ending, man. I mean, but I guess it is what it is, right? Factors influencing rate reductions. Sarah, you want to touch on those bullet points?
Sure. So this is according to Steve Hill, a mortgage broker from SBC Lending. And he talks about several factors that influence how far mortgage rates might fall or not.
There you go.
So the first bullet point he talks about is the economy. That being a strong economy usually leads to higher mortgage rates, while a weakening economy often results in lower rates. He talks about jobs, how employment can push mortgage rates up, but rising unemployment may lead to rate decreases. Another point he touches on is inflation. So lowering inflation rates often allow mortgage rate deductions, while high inflation tends to keep rates elevated. And then elections, of course, that's always a good one, right? Political uncertainty can cause mortgage rates to...
Sorry, I was really too hard.
...fluctuate.
Sorry, I had the mic to my nose.
With possible policy changes affecting market expansions. And the last one would be global events. Geopolitical tension can sway rates. Conflicts that raise oil prices could keep inflation high, preventing rate cuts. Yeah, those are a lot of
influencing points, right, on interest rates.
Many.
Like either up or down. And then, like, I don't know. I think it's funny. Jobs, what did it say? Jobs can create increased interest rates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unemployment.
But then unemployment can decrease them.
Wow. Yeah.
But then inflation lowers interest rates, but then it said something about raising interest rates, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, in essence, it says the more you have, the more I'm going to take.
Pretty much, right?
That's what it says. It doesn't say anything else. The root of it is the more you have, the more I'm going to come and get you for. So where's the freedom in all this? Where is let me go and increase my wealth and that of my children and work hard so my children can have a better future and we can all collectively better generations of our country, maybe on a state-by-state basis, better our country in general so we can get out of that stupid debt that everybody forever owes from the day they're born, right?
Yep.
And we never get out of that stupid cycle. Nobody ever does. That's why all these tax increase, they never go down.
No.
So the more you have, the more they're going to take.
Check this out. I was just noticing a point here.
Crazy.
Pissing me off again.
Interest rates were raised 11 times between March of 2022 and July of 2023.
Dude, they never go down.
Holy shit. That's crazy. 11 times. I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew rates were going up, but damn, 11 times they raised them.
Wow.
That's crazy. And that's what, within a year and a few months?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's like almost one time. That's more than once a month.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, so what this means for home buyers and people refinancing, acting now can mean less competition and greater potential for equity growth. On the other hand, waiting might lead to lower rates, but increased housing demand.
Which means higher prices. This is why, my opinion on interest rates, when people always ask, oh, when's a good time to buy? Whenever you have the money.
Yeah.
You know? I talked to my, I had a conversation a little bit about, well, I didn't have a personal conversation with my niece. It was through my wife. My niece was asking, well, when should I buy my house?
Yeah.
And my advice was, when you have the money.
When you can afford it.
Exactly. But interest rates are high. And that's okay. Because if and when they do drop, if you can afford the house now, you're good. And then if they do drop, you can always refinance that interest rate. So you can never refinance the principal.
Right.
That's what people don't understand. People sit and say, oh, I want interest rates to drop. But then the demand for the housing goes up, mm-hmm. which in turn raises the price of houses. So why would you buy a house that's more expensive that you cannot refinance the principal on?
Mm-hmm.
But buy when the interest rate is a little higher, because then guess what? Your house is going to go up
in value.
Right, exactly. And interest rates will come down. And now guess what? You refinance, you saved a bunch of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does make sense?
But at the end of the day, the basis of the problem, if you can't afford it, don't get in it.
Exactly. 100%.
You know, because it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on, with an expensive house, low interest rate, or high interest rate, lower price, you're still gonna lose it.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry to be so negative about it, but if you don't line your ducks up, if you don't do your math and just get in it because, you know, your neighbor got in it, or somebody close to you bought a house and you think, oh my God, I'm at that age where maybe I should, and I'm gonna just not stay behind. And then you eat crap because you didn't do your numbers right.
Right.
I mean, that sucks. So should I buy a home now? Is it a good time?
Do you have the money and can you afford it?
Right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Yeah.
And well, what's funny is because you bring that up, my neighbor, every time I see him, like, you know, I mess with him because he has no grass in his front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, when are you going to plant some grass? Dude, you've been here for like, you know, 3-5 years or something like that. And I don't mean in a bad way. I just joke with him. And he says, it sucks being house poor. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you bought low interest rate, high price. Oh, yeah, because it's not like you can even refinance. You know,
he's stuck.
Hardcore. So it's like, oh, that sucks, dude. I'll throw some of my grass your way.
that sucks, man.
Yeah, it's a shitty situation.
Yeah, it's a shitty situation.
But the thing is, it's like, this is the mentality. I shouldn't say mentality. It's the mindset of everybody where they think they're buying safe. Oh, because interest rates are low, but they don't see the big picture.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But then again, you know, everybody has their own way of buying,
right?
Or the way, or the way they think they should.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean.
Mature loans.
Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting. And obviously, this is what keeps the flow of the industry working. That's exactly what the contributors to the change in cycles. You know? Now we're in a space where everybody says the cycle's going to shift. We're in a buyer's market. Right? We're in a seller's market.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, seller's market.
Yeah, we're in the seller's market, and it's going to start shifting, right? We buy in the buyer's market,
yep.
Right? And we just have to kind of sit back and wait what fits the criteria of the discounts we're looking for. There's going to be a lot of them. I think this time around, my personal opinion, nobody has to believe me anything. I actually didn't even do research for this. It's just my gut feeling. I think this time around, when things go south, I think they're going to be drastically worse
than 2008.
2008 was bad.
Yeah, I think it's going to be worse. And not only the processes, but the aftermath. I think after the fact, when the dust settles,
yeah,
it's going to be way harder for people to buy again. Like, it became very difficult to buy this time. Now, fast forward, whenever, you know, the 2008 effect comes back again in a worse matter, the recovery is going to be that much more heavier for people that are trying to buy homes. Because, I mean, if you look at it, jobs aren't in place. Cost of education is through the roof. Mm-hmm. Cost of goods and eating and even, you know, just cost of living overall here in California is through the roof.
Crazy.
Right now, talking about insurances.
Crazy.
You know? And then wages. Wages don't add up.
Don't match the inflation.
Yeah. I think this is the last generation. I don't want to curse anybody. I think we're very close to the last cycle of home ownership.
You're touching on some California. Good points, but I'm not going to jump on them. But I think you're probably right, man. I mean, I think that that's the thing. But here's the way to combat that, right? At least for the average guy who actually wants to do something. Start learning how to get in the business now.
Yeah.
You got to. Because when the time comes, you know, my little analogy of, oh, you don't want to learn how to drive. You don't have to drive across town in an emergency because you're never going to fucking get there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, damn, I did it again. Mm-hmm. So now's the time to start your path to learning so you're not trying to figure it out when that fan, you know, gets hit with the you-know-what.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, all of our listeners, man, you know, get out there. Get with a good community. Start learning about real estate investing. Start talking to people who can help guide you so you don't, you know, you don't get left behind.
Yeah.
Start learning to swim before that big wave hits you.
Right. And then, you know, I think I shared this one time. I forget if it's the Coast Guard that says one of their quotes we only rescue those that swim towards us.
Yeah.
You know? So in the industry of real estate investing, only the ones that swim towards educating themselves are going to survive. The right. others that think some magic pill is going to drop from the sky or they're going to get the magic wand delivered through Amazon, it's not going to happen. And that sucks for them because there's more people thinking that than not.
Yeah.
It is very few of the people thinking, I got to be proactive. I got to educate myself. I got to be ready. Just like the doomsday planners, you know, they're always, you know, digging in their bunkers and prepping with all that food and shit. They're ready. Yeah. Guess what? I don't have a bunker.
Neither do I.
So it's just the same copy and paste story. When the crash comes and nobody's educated to try to even salvage their very own property, not to say invest in others. They won't know what to do because just that ignorance, that ignorant part of them not knowing what homeownership is in its totality is going to cost them their shelter.
Yeah, it's going to suck.
But anyways, I think, Sarah, any closing statements? I think we're good for tonight or...
I think you guys said a lot of really good stuff.
Did you manage to swallow the gum or did you?
It's still there. It's still there. No, but I mean, you know, as investors and homeowners, they have different approaches to the refinancing, you know, the topic that we had going on tonight. So, you know, you just have to always work your numbers and see what best fits, you know, your decisions that you're going to make. So, yeah.
Yeah. Danny.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to be a little different, right? Everyone has a situation, different situation. You just need to understand what it's your rates right now, what you're looking for, what's going to make sense. And you know, if that wave is good for an our finance now, if you can do credit lines or things like that, it's always good to have. But be smart with the money and learn to buy. Learn to buy on a good time. So by the time you have to refinance, you are not going to be lost. Right. Look for options. Yeah, always. Yeah.
Campos, final words.
Yeah, just everybody out there, get ready. Get ready because, you know, the market, we're seeing signs of the market shifting, you know. And when we start to get into that that buyer's market that we all want to be in, right, don't wait. Don't let yourself get too far behind, right?
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you all for being here tonight and kind of touching every now and then on this topic.
Love it, topic.
Right? We will see you guys soon with more of our BS, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I always have great information. And if you guys want more information about us, don't forget to send an email for info@becomeaninvestor.com. Forget about those two. They talk a lot, but sometimes they talk good. If you guys want to find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Become an Investor, we're going to be there. Also, give us that 5-star on Spotify.
5 stars.
Apple Podcast. And share. Share is caring. See you guys.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.